This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. The bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest sits inside the Tennessee State Capitol in Nashville, roped off from the public. Forrest was a Confederate general, slave trader, and an early leader of the Ku Klux Klan. As Confederate statues and symbols have come down around the South and elsewhere, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee has called for the State Capitol Commission to meet this week to decide what to do about the bust. If the bust were removed from the Capitol, what would take its place? Paula Casey has an idea. Honor the key state lawmakers who made possible the ratification of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, guaranteeing women the right to vote. Paula is co-founder of the Tennessee Woman Suffrage Heritage Trail.
Paula, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You recently wrote an opinion column that appeared here in the Chattanooga Times Free Press, honor women's suffrage heroes with Capitol busts. Busts at the state capitol in Nashville. Tell us more about this.
I grew up in Nashville, went to school in Knoxville, and I was up there in 1974 when Pat Head Summit was hired. Pat Head then, and graduated Dawes, and he realized June 28th was 4 years since she died. A great Tennessean, and I'm so glad they have a statue of her on the campus in Knoxville. So we started looking around for where to place public art, but the history of suffragist public art really goes back to then State Senator Steve Cohen, who's now my congressman, and he's a great congressman. Steve is the one who realized that there was nothing inside the state capitol that commemorated Tennessee's pivotal vote. And you know, I say all American women vote today thanks to Tennessee. So I grew up in Nashville. I graduated from UT Knoxville. I did not know this story until I was 21 years old. And of course, there was no public art. And it's important to point out here that public art represents what we think is important as a society. You go into any city, any state capital, the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C., and what do you see? Statues and art dedicated to people and events that are considered important. And we have to point out here that this is where the Daughters of the Confederacy were brilliant. They played the long game. They are the ones who were responsible for putting up all of these statues to the Lost Cause. And I grew up in Nashville. I believe the Lost Cause mythology, because we were not given the full story. And thank goodness for Ken Burns and his series on PBS, The Civil War, and all of the people that have always been concerned about, quite frankly, statues to people who were fighting against the United States of America. For the longest time, that was never articulated. And of course, what happened in Tennessee was treated like a footnote in history. Enfranchising nearly 27 million American women is more than a footnote in history. So we had a competition that Steve Cohen orchestrated with the Tennessee Arts Commission, Alan McFryer of Nashville, who is so talented, and he is going to be doing the suffragist statue in Chattanooga. So we're excited about that. But we commissioned him, or the Arts Commission did, after he won the blind competition. And he created the bas relief that's hanging inside the state capitol between the House and Senate chambers. And so that was the first public recognition of what happened in Tennessee. And then Wanda Sobieski in Knoxville commissioned Alan to do the statue of the three women representing three grand divisions. And Wanda asked me who should be on that statue representing West Tennessee. And I said Elizabeth Avery Meriwether, because she was Tennessee's first known suffragist. So those three women were unveiled in 2006. Then in 2010, we got a group together in Nashville and we started looking at state property. And this is where the statues that are around the Capitol were fixed. There was no way we were going to move any of them. Well, it turned out that the state wasn't real excited. And so we had to make other plans. And thank God for Nashville Mayor Carl Dean, and followed by all the other mayors who supported putting this monument in Centennial Park. So we unveiled that monument, Tennessee Woman Suffrage Monument, in August of 2016. Then Jackie Hillman of Jackson, who is my co-founder for the Tennessee Woman Suffrage Heritage Trail, did Sue Shelton White, the only Tennessee suffragist that we know of who was jailed fighting for suffrage. And we unveiled Miss Sue in May of 2017. Now we're working on Memphis's. Allen's going to be here in Chattanooga's. Clarksville's going to unveil theirs. Knoxville got a second one that Allen did of Harry Byrne and his mother. We're going to have this art. It's all going to be on the National Votes for Women Trail. We're going to make sure that this art is there so that when we're gone, the story's still going to be told.
And we have to remind folks that this journey that you've taken us on the past few minutes, it's unfolded only in the past few decades.
Right. Largely due to Carolyn Yellen, who was my mentor and close friend. She followed the lead of Dr. A. Elizabeth Taylor, Antoinette Elizabeth Taylor, who wrote her dissertation at Vanderbilt in 1942. Think about that. That was only 22 years after Tennessee had ratified. Tennessee was the last state that could possibly ratify. And that is so important. And of course, people don't realize, I mean, when did they stop teaching civics in the schools? Because people don't realize it takes 3/4 of the states to ratify. And at that time, there were 48 states. And so Tennessee became the 36th state needed to ratify, which is why Tennessee was dubbed the perfect 36. And so Carol Lynn studied Dr. Taylor's book, The Woman's Suffrage Movement in Tennessee, which grew out of her dissertation. And Carol Lynn told me, I don't know if she talked to a family member or found something in Dr. Taylor's papers that said when she was working on her dissertation at Vanderbilt, she was asked if this was a serious topic for a dissertation. You know, this is so ridiculous. So anyway, Carol Lynn did all this research. It was published in American Heritage Magazine in December 1978 called Countdown in Tennessee. And she told me in the 80s that she wanted to do a book because she had so much that was cut out. And at that time, December of 1978, her article was the second longest article ever published in American Heritage. And so out of her research that was not used, we ended up doing a book, The Perfect 36, Tennessee Delivers Women's Suffrage. And the way I raised the money for it, Carol Lynn was dying of breast cancer. And there were people who wanted to help preserve this history, and we donated it to every school, library, and college in the state.
One of the other things that you write about in the column is the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest there in the state capitol. You have a solution.
I want to give credit to Benton County Mayor Brett Lashley. Mayor Lashley has just been so supportive of our book, Perfect 36, the Tennessee Women's Suffrage Heritage Trail. He is the one who said to me, I have Nathan Bedford Forrest State Park in my county. And I think that the State Capitol Commission, the Tennessee Historical Commission, the governor, all the people who would be involved in this decision need to relocate that bust from the Capitol in the state park. And this makes perfect sense because he said, we can give it a proper display. We can have heritage tourism. They can give it a context. I don't have any problem with preserving. I'm not into book burning. I'm not into eliminating history. I'm into making sure that history is understood within the proper context. So if you move that bust to Benton County, let them have it in the state park. The state will still be responsible for it. They can tell the complete story of Nathan Bedford Forrest's life because, you know, he has his detractors and defenders. Let's tell the whole story. And then in that space, I want something that represents who were those heroes in the suffrage movement. Because we're getting suffragist public art across the state, but inside the state capitol, there are three men who really should be known by every Tennessean. First is Representative Joseph Hanover from Memphis, a Jewish immigrant from Poland who revered the founding documents of this country. He and his mother and brother immigrated here from Poland when he was 5 years old, and they ended up in Memphis, which had a large immigrant population in the 1890s. And he ended up running for the state legislature, and at that time, Mayor Crump, who is often referred to as Boss Crump, Mayor Crump and he did not get along, and Mayor Crump wasn't really paying attention to that race because everybody was a Democrat back then, but Joseph Hanover refused to run as a Democrat. He ran as an independent. And when he won, it shocked Mayor Crump and all of the establishment folks. So he ended up voting for partial suffrage, which Tennessee approved on April 14, 1919. Now, here's the interesting Benton County connection. You know, this is so so cool because Mayor Lashley and I've talked about this. They've got a lot of markers and other information up in Benton County about Mary Cordelia Beasley Hudson. They call her Aunt Cord. She was the first woman to legally cast a vote in the city of Camden on April 22nd, 1919. So there's a lot in Benton County. And Benton County's great. I always have fun going up there. It's right there when you're coming across I-40. It's Tennessee River. It's the first county you enter in West Tennessee. So it's kind of like the door to West Tennessee. So Aunt Cord was the first woman to legally cast a vote. And this is so interesting to think that Tennessee enacted partial suffrage largely due to the urging of Carey Chapman Catt, the national suffrage leader. So Joseph Hanover voted for partial suffrage. He was such a zealous advocate for suffrage. He lost 20 pounds. He had to have a bodyguard because he was beaten and threatened. Carrie Chapman Catt was so impressed with him, she asked him to be floor leader. Okay, so Mr. Joe, as we call him in Memphis, and I met him. I mean, Gray, this is so cool. He only died in 1984. That is so recent. I met him in 1983. He was a true hero, and his story is not as well known as Harry Byrne. And we all hear the story about Harry Byrne, and it's a great story. And thank goodness his mother wrote that letter. However, if Mr. Joe hadn't kept those pro-suffrage votes together, it wouldn't have mattered how Mr. Harry voted. And then here's the other one. Gibson County, which is also West Tennessee, Banks Turner was a state representative, Vanderbilt-educated lawyer, farmer, serving in the legislature, and he was in Governor Roberts' office the morning of August 18th, 1920. That is the day that it finally came to a vote during the special session in the House. And Governor Roberts was on the phone with Governor Cox from Ohio, the Democratic presidential nominee. And Governor Cox was just beseeching Governor Roberts to please get the 19th Amendment ratified in Tennessee, the last state that could possibly ratify. And Governor Roberts, while he was on the phone with Governor Cox, pointed at Representative Banks Turner and said, "I'm sitting here looking at the man who can help make this happen." And nobody knew that Banks Turner had been in the governor's office and knew about that conversation. So when the time came to vote to table the motion, which was what Speaker Seth Walker of Lebanon wanted to happen, because let's face it, they were gutless. They didn't really want to go on the record voting for this. They wanted to push it off until the regular session in January of 1921. And that was one of the arguments the anti-suffragists used. So Banks Turner voted to keep the amendment alive. He voted against tabling, much to the consternation of Speaker Seth Walker. So Mr. Joe knew that morning he was two votes short and he didn't know where they were going to come from. So Banks Turner voted to keep the motion alive, to keep it on the table, not off the table. And then Harry Byrne changed his vote and that's how it passed. Is that a great story?
And we are coming up on 100 years of that story because that was August 1920 and we're coming up on August 2020.
Right. And did you realize that the suffragists endured a pandemic? The flu epidemic of 1918-1919. Carrie Chapman Catt got the flu. Alice Paul, who was the other major suffrage leader, founded the National Woman's Party, and Sue Shelton White was a member of that. They had the flu, and thank goodness they survived. And isn't it interesting, here we are 100 years later with another pandemic. So what we're going to do is continue the celebration, the centennial celebration, technically kicks off August 18th this year, and we'll just run everything through August 18th, 2021. So that means all the public art, the movies, the books, and I want to put a plug in here for my friend Bill Halton, who wrote a great book about Joseph Hanover called Joseph Hanover, The Unfinished Business of Democracy. Why Can't Mother Vote is the title. Isn't that a great title? Why Can't Mother Vote? He kept asking his parents that while he was studying in law school.
There are a few things in common with navigating the legislature 100 years ago with navigating the legislature now.
Right. Well, if we could have those three busts, Alan LaFleur has already sculpted Harry Byrne in the Knoxville statue, the second one that they unveiled in 2018, and he's already sculpted Mr. Joe. In fact, Mr. Joe's bust is on the back cover of Bill's book, Why Can't Mother Vote? So he's already done two of them. The state could commission Banks Turner. Jackie Hillman and I feel like Banks Turner does not get enough credit. I mean, that was huge. The pressure that he was under to vote to table that motion so that it would not come up for the vote and they could delay it and then conveniently never bring it up again. You know, that was the strategy. So Banks Turner deserves to be remembered. And I think that people need to see these heroes and know what they did and how Tennessee ended up becoming the state that made it possible for all American women to vote. It would just be perfect during this centennial celebration to have them in there.
And where can people go online to follow every step of the celebration?
Wow, there's a lot going on. Representative Robin Smith from Hickson is heading up a statewide group, and I think that's Tennessee Women Vote or Tennessee Vote 100. You know, you can Google Tennessee Celebration, but there are Facebook pages. We have the Tennessee Woman Suffrage Heritage Trail.com, TM for Tennessee, and all of the people who are involved in what made suffrage happen in the state are depicted on that trail. And I just got asked to be the state coordinator for the National Votes for Women Trail. So I'm trying to make sure that all of these residences, markers, statues, and monuments are, and grave sites are recorded.
All right. Paula, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me talk about my favorite topic.
How we view fitness has changed due to COVID-19. Gyms have to look different because of social distancing. People who have had to stay home on lockdown have more time or less to work out, or they don't know how, or they want to avoid a big gym. Matt Averyhart is the founder of OnSite Fitness, a startup here in the Chattanooga area that provides training for the everyday person.
Matt, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, you founded OnSite Fitness here in Chattanooga, and lately you have expanded Cleveland and East Brainerd.
Yeah, we're very excited about our expansion and about our Chattanooga origin.
And you're not stopping after that?
No, we've been very fortunate to have a concept that people really need, which is allowing us to expand into other cities in the upcoming year.
You're eyeing Nashville and Atlanta.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Tell us how OnSite was founded.
My partners and I, we were trying to come up with a solution for the people that we cared most about. And at that time, it was what fitness considers the general population. Guys like you and me, not athletes and, you know, the people that you see who are really in shape. We wanted to come up with a concept that would actually help the average American citizen. Data showed us that 80% of us, we don't move enough. We don't exercise enough. 90% of us don't really know how to exercise. We came up with OnSite to really meet people where they are at and be able to give them the proper guidance to get moving and get out there and have fun and live life to the best of their ability.
And of course, you founded this before the pandemic, and I'm sure that you have gotten many questions from members and the general public about how to stay in shape when you have to stay at home during a lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. The pandemic has been, it's brought a lot of confusion and stress and worry, but it's also shedding a light on just how important physical health is. We've been flooded with questions from our current clients and from individuals from all over the country, really, on how to stay fit, how to stay active during this time. And most importantly, the impact that your physical fitness has on your entire health. It's not just physical and vanity driven, but it's emotional, it's mental. That's really what I'm excited about that's come up this pandemic so far.
What are some of the practical questions you've been getting?
Well, a lot of people have been working out at home, which is great, right? That's our goal for all of our clients. So eventually everyone who comes to OnSite, they are, you know, OnSiters and they work out at home. The big thing that's been coming up over and over is, I have been working out at home and my lower back is killing me. our EPs, our exercise physiologists, have been reaching out to all of our clients that have been doing home workouts and some clients who maybe do CrossFit and things of that nature, and just giving them tips and reminders on how to move wisely without someone there to, you know, check your form or correct you, because there's a lot of lower back pain that runs rampant when people are unsupervised typically.
What are some misconceptions that you're hearing from people reaching out to you?
That fitness is easy. When people start working out at home, what's been awesome about this is trying to get workout equipment right now is almost impossible. The prices are up, which is, that means a lot of people are buying things to move at home, which is brilliant. It's wonderful. That's what we all want. But there's been a misconception of how easy it is to move, how easy it is to exercise. People going from 0 to 100, or even people going from 30 to 70. There's a lot of risk in trying to start a cardiovascular routine or a weight training routine unsupervised.
How has your business had to pivot as a result of this, besides fielding all these inquiries from members in the general public?
Just like everyone else in the fitness industry with a physical location, it's been a big impact because we had to close our doors for the health of our team and the health of our clients, health of the public. We had to close our doors, and opening was something that we had to do in a very cautious manner. We're very, very fortunate to be a private training studio, which means that we have low capacity. The maximum people that you'll find in our studio is 4 clients. 3,300 square feet with only 4 people in it is a more safe place to be. But yeah, the biggest effect was having to close the doors for so long and then to slowly reintroduce coming to an actual studio and working out. But we've been very fortunate that our clients have responded well, and it's because of the small volume of individuals that we have in the studio at a time.
And how would you say perspectives on fitness have changed from members and the general public?
The individuals that we actually work with the most are parents, grandparents, right? So, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. And I think what's really come about is, again, the importance of physical health. With the pandemic that we're in, that's the highest risk category. For those individuals to then say, okay, how do I reduce my risk during a time like this? And then, of course, post-pandemic, you want to continue to reduce your risk for anything that may come up in the future. And so a heightened awareness of fitness for that population specifically has been incredible. And us being here to show how simple, not necessarily easy, but how simple it can be to exercise safely, and the immense difference that that will make in your health and protecting you from being in that sort of vulnerable category.
And how much have you adjusted what you do to online, as so many places have done?
We have wonderful trainers. They're exercise physiologists, right? Really, really smart, able to work with people from a medical population, from medical populations. We're really good in person. That doesn't translate one-to-one in virtual training. And so our personal training is something that's very, very personal, obviously, and it's very, very detailed. For us, we did offer a virtual product for our clients during the time when our doors were shut, but it's not something that we're actually going to push into the future. Our product is very strong. You know, we've been able to receive investment and a lot of excitement in the growth of our concept. So we're actually not going to change it up very much. We feel strongly that the people who are making advancements on the digital side of things, the new products that we're seeing, the wonderful companies that are being born of it, are going to do a great job. We really want to focus on the exercise physiology side, personally.
And how have you and the other trainers all adjusted again and again through this time?
It's been interesting when you are in the service industry, and specifically when you're talking health. You know, exercise is important. Physical therapy is important. Obviously, going to the doctor is important. They're all things that affect your health. And so my team, I think the biggest thing is that we have to really, really take a lot of responsibility in our actions outside of work. We can't go necessarily and enjoy some of the freedoms and sort of lax reality that surrounds us. We have to make sure that we're being safe for our clients, which means that this summer isn't the most fun summer, you know, more individual hikes. We do things as a team just to reduce exposure, again, to just make sure that we're being as safe as possible and so that we can be there to serve our clients instead of putting them at risk. That's the biggest change, is just living life a little bit differently, not being able to hang out with as many people, maybe missing out on vacations that would have otherwise been here this summer.
And where can people go online for more information?
You can visit our website at onsitefitness.com or just Google Onsite Fitness.
All right, Matt, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots. Good afternoon. I'm Richard Winham. This afternoon, we have another show from Wood Songs in Dalton. For the past couple of months, they have been presenting streaming shows on their website every Friday afternoon at 12 noon called Quarantunes. It's featured local and regional musicians playing different strains of quintessentially American music. Today's show features a duo playing cowboy songs. American music in the tradition of Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, and Dale Evans. The band, based in Nashville, is called The Farmer and Adele. For this show, it's just the farmer, Keenan Wade, and his partner, Grace Adele, live in their backyard on a bright, sunny morning.
Howdy!
Well, howdy, folks. We're The Farmer and Adele. We're mighty proud to be here at the Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour.
from Dalton, Georgia, as a matter of fact. Well, this will be a half-hour program today. I'm Farmer Keenan.
And I'm Grace Adele.
Yep.
Mighty proud to be here. Mighty proud for a great cause. And keep those donations coming in for the Dalton, Georgia...
Deo Clinic. That's
Deo
right.
Deo Clinic.
Yep.
Yep, yep.
And without further much to do, can I get a yip out there in internet land? Can I get a yah?
Yeah.
And can I get a yahoo?
Yahoo!
All right, well, let's saddle our worries to the wind. Here we go. One, two, three.
The sun will shine more brighter than he's ever shown before. If you saddle your worries to the wind, your happy heart will be at wealth you'll never ask for more. If you saddle your worries to the wind, you'll see the dark clouds vanish and the prairie breeze blow. The blue skies smile above you everywhere you go. So get along, old timey, there's a better range ahead. If you saddle your worries to the wind,
some folks live and worry all their whole life.
That's too bad.
But I found out that is quite the thing to do.
So listen, pal, to me, and surely you'll agree.
The sun will shine more brighter than he's ever shown before. If you saddle your worries to the wind, your happy heart will be of wealth you'll never ask for more. If you saddle your worries to the wind, you'll see the dark clouds vanish and the prairie breezes blow. The blue skies smile above you everywhere you go. So get along, old timer, there's a better range ahead. If you saddle your worries to the wind.
That's the reason you're here today, this fine afternoon, this beautiful sunny afternoon. Well, here in Tennessee at least. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's beautiful and sunny where you are too.
It's always beautiful and sunny at the Saddle Up Ranch, isn't it, Grace?
It sure is.
Yep.
It sure is. Well, I don't want to boast about the Saddle Up Ranch for too long. Let's talk about that Deo Clinic. That's the reason we're here today. And the other reason we're here today is because the Farmer and Adele have a hit single.
A hit single.
We're from a little town out west called Nashville, Tennessee. And we sat down and had what's called a music business meeting. And we sat down with music business people.
For those of you out there, those are music industry terms.
And the music business people said, Farmer and Adele, you need to have a hit single.
A hit single.
So we looked at each other and decided it would be
the Saddle Up Song.
Yep.
This song is off the charts.
Completely.
The Saddle Up Song's going to take us out west. And what sounds would we hear out west? Well, I hear horses trotting along, tumbling tumbleweed, and coyotes off in the distance.
Two, three, play. Listening real closely, you can even hear coyotes off in the distance.
I hear that. Oh, 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 oh!
Two, three, play.
Saddle up, get cozy as we gaze at the stars up above. We could keep on rolling, steady, easy going, singing our saddle up song. Oh, we could keep on rolling, steady, easy going, singing our saddle up.
A saddle up song. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we actually happen to have a brand new children's series that you can check out on YouTube called Saddle Up with the Farmer and Adele. And be sure to check it out. It's a brand new series that features us, the Farmer and Adele, teaching cowpokes of all ages all about learning. And what else are we teaching them, Grace and Elle?
Well, we're learning through music, and we're learning our ABCs, we're learning how to sing, we're learning all kinds of things about vegetables and what grows in the garden.
Yep! We even have puppets coming up from our garden too. They're in the ground right now, the seed is growing.
Well, you know, Farmer Keenan, I love singing all these classic Western tunes.
I do too, Grace Adele.
A lot of people don't know that we write our own Western tunes.
That's true, Grace Adele, a lot of people don't know.
Here's one we wrote entitled, I'm a Lone Cowboy.
One, two, three.
Ooh-dee.
I'm a lone cowboy, just riding and singing, riding and singing along. Tall in the saddle, my spurs jangling, jingling, are the rhythm of my lone cowboy song. My companion as I'm riding down the canyon with my shadow by my side. As we're kicking up the dust, knowing that we must leave our cares behind. From Phoenix to Del Rio, to the sage in Ocotillo, a roving cowboy's life's a life for me. You're low.
where I belong. I'll be free as the wind till I'm dead and buried. Until then, I'll ride and sing my song. My horse is my companion as I'm riding down the canyon with my shadow by my side. As I'm kicking up dust, knowing that we must leave our cares behind. From Phoenix to Del Rio, through the sage and Ocotillo, a roving cowboy's life's alive for me. Yes, sirree. Your love, your love.
Song that we'd like to debut fresh off the trail.
This is the first time we've ever played this song.
It certainly
well,
is.
We'd love to play it for y'all, so keep those donations coming to the Deo Clinic. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm just a quarantine cowgirl lying in my bed. When I hear the rooster, I roll over instead and pull the covers over. What's the use today? No need to wrangle doggies or fill the loft with hay. Wish I was hoping and hoping and a riding and a roping like I was a year ago today. Cowgirl, cooking every day. I've done everything that's on my shelf.
Oh, let's do that at that verse. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
I'm just a quarantine cowgirl,
cooking for myself. Yeah.
I've done ate everything that I had upon my shelf. Stacked up dirty dishes. I'll get to them someday. There's no use in denying. I'm stuck here anyway. Wish I was singing in. When I heard a lazy camel like I was a year ago today. Oh, let's hear your play.
Quarantine Cowgirl. We just wrote that with our saddle pal, Ranger Doug, from the Riders in the Sky. Well, up next, we have You Are My Sunshine. We'd like to play you all this song because it's actually going to be available for release next week on June 17th.
Yep, 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 yep. This is our first single from our new series, Saddle Up with a Farmer Nadell. It's our new children's series that we hope that you'll go and subscribe to our channel. And you can hear the new song and the new download
You are my sunshine.
That's right. We're going to be featuring a different download each and every month during 2020. And You Are My Sunshine is going to be coming out next week, as Grace Adele had mentioned. And it does feature the rest of the cowboys in the band. They're just back at the bunkhouse, still quarantined right now. But we'll go ahead and get to that single. Here we go. You Are My Sunshine. And if you feel like singing along, well, sing along. One, two, three. We'd like to feature.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, we have about one more that we'd like to end on a high note. By popular request, we're getting all those requests coming in for our yodel tune. And well, ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to leave you disappointed. And here's the grand papium of all Western songs. This is Back in the Saddle Again. Here we go. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lonely gypsum weed. Back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep at every night and you'll always ride. Back in the saddle again, whoop-dee-tie-yi-yo, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoop-dee-tie-yi-yay, I go my way, back in the saddle again. Yep, yep.
longhorn cattle feed on the lonely gypsum weed. Back in the saddle again, right at the range once more.
One more.
Toting by old 44, where you sleep out every night, and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-pie-yi-yo, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-yi-yay, I go my way. Back in the saddle again. I
Thank you so very, very much. We are the Farmer Nadell. You can find out more information about us at www.everybodylovesthefarmernadell.com. This is a song of inspiration we wrote with our saddle pal, Ranger Doug, from the Riders in the Sky, because we know so many of you folks listening and tuning in today are also fans of the Riders in the Sky, and well, we love them, and they've been great mentors towards the Farmer Nadell. You hear that train roll?
I hear that train.
That's the same train that Hank Snow and Maybelle Carter also heard, because folks, we live in the Madison, Tennessee area, where all those folks' old homes was just across the street from us, along with Earl Scruggs as well. So they heard that same train that you're all hearing right now. Here we go. One, two, three.
Light beyond that door,
Western swing music from The Farmer and Adele, based in Nashville. This is Scenic Roots on WUTC.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Thanks, as always, to our producers, Haley Solomon, Carly Dodson, and Will Davis. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.